So today we're throwing out the rules.
I'm tired and I'm not funny and my tongue feels as thick as a brick and I wanted to take the week off and you're making me do this.
I'm not making you do shit.
You're making me. You gave me the puppy dog look and you're like, why can't we do a show? And
I'm
like,
I can't.
No, that doesn't work. And I was like, no, because daddy's tired and daddy had a long day at work and he's not in a good mood and he feels like yelling at everything. And you're like, but I love the people who listen to the show.
This is what we have chosen to do this week.
What?
I am going, since I am ramping up and saving up my cash to publish my book, which will only take a few more paychecks. It'll be out soon. I'll read you an excerpt and make all y'all really happy. Okay?
Yeah.
Read one chapter.
And okay? I'm going to go into the other room and scream into a pillow.
I can see you, and if you leave, you die.
Good luck with that. You'll be wrapped up in your book.
I already planned this ahead of time. The anthrax
I'm
is
telling you right now, I'm in a mean mood. Daddy's in a mean mood. Daddy might be mean to your book.
I don't care. That's what you always do.
Okay,
anyway.
We need to come back to this part of the show when you say I don't care. Ooh, what are you drinking? That's a gigantic brown mug.
A cop of coffee.
A cup of coffee. I'm having a cup of coffee. And another morning greeter from my wife's hair.
I didn't even get a chance to tell you because you were always, woe is me, when you started the call.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel good either. Today, I feel strange and shitty, and it is 95 degrees out. It is 95 degrees out, and I have two air conditioners running in the house, and my balls are sweating through my underwear right now.
Wow. Is that what you mean by you feel weird?
Yeah, no, well, the barometric pressure is different, and the humidity in the air is high.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That sucks. Why is it so hot in here if you have two air conditioners blowing on you? Oh, you don't, because you're recording
the
show.
No, they're in the other room. Oh. You would think that two 10,000 BTUs would, you know, make a house at least 5 or 6 degrees cooler.
Right, right.
It doesn't.
Uh-huh.
All right, so it's your choice, chapter 15 or chapter 21.
Which one's happier? Wait a minute. We're still got to do the intro. There's no way. We still got to do the welcome everybody to man. No. We're not throwing everything. We're not flushing everything. This show has a name.
All right, and then I'll just pick. You don't get a choice.
Well, okay, yeah, you'll pick, and we'll come back to it after we're done. People are expecting a little chit-chat back and forth about stuff. So chit-chat back and forth about stuff.
Let me see.
We talked about your sweaty balls.
Let me see.
We talked about how I think you shouldn't be scraping your skin off with soap and astringent.
I went to see Wonder Woman.
I haven't. Is it good?
It was pretty goddamn good.
It's goddamn good.
Surprisingly good. Surprisingly really good.
Yeah, but let me ask you this.
Brought my little girl to watch it.
What did she think of it?
She thought it was great. She was jumping up. We had to sit all the way in front because it was packed. But
But her bazooms were gigantic, I bet. All the way up front. In 3D.
No, we didn't watch it. Oh my god, 3D movies make me barf.
Do they really?
Yeah, I can't. I've done it once and I was just like, And that was, what do you call it? That was, I went to see Lego Batman. And I was just like, I would rather watch this, like, not...
Watch, there's going to be an entire generation of kids who go to movie theaters and they see everything in 3D, and the novelty will be to see it in 2D. When they get older. And we'll start seeing posters that say, Batman 19, now in 2D. I don't understand what the big deal is about 3D, because I see in 3D... Why would I want to watch a movie in 3D? Stupid.
Because you want to have your face right in Superman's balls.
No, you know what? 3D is just, you know, it's the methadone for what we really want, which is fully immersive movie experiences where we do them with virtual reality goggles on.
Mm.
That's what we want. We want a fully interactive movie with like virtual reality goggles, and we could smell stuff and touch stuff, and you know, if
can you imagine what that will do to porn?
Oh, it's already doing it to porn. It's already started.
Why are people screaming at your house?
Because it's the NBA finals.
Oh,
I know.
I agree with you.
Neither one of us are basketball. Sorry, basketball fans. Neither one of he's football. I'm baseball. Fuck basketball.
I love football, though.
I know you do, and I love baseball. That's what makes us perfect.
Like a perfect couple that have a chance meeting in the... I don't know.
Okay, wait, no, wait. You can't just stop there. We have a chance meeting where?
You know how long it takes me to actually write something interesting? What I would just thought of was not a complete thought, and I would have sat there with the cursor blinking for about 10 minutes.
You're like,
that's why it's taken me a year to put this book together.
They've got to meet somewhere. Where do they meet? All right. Do you want to start the show?
We meet in a dark alley.
Do you know how many things start in a dark alley? They met lying next to each other at the...
Schleboygen. Vietnam.
They were numbers 14 and 15 in the how many dudes can get screwed by a bull contest. I don't know.
Oh my god.
Told you many, I'm
wait,
tired.
How long will one dude live getting screwed by a bull, maybe?
No, it's like one right... Yeah, that one's dead. Move on to the next one. We must keep testing this bull. Even the bull is tired.
The bull's fuck, like, man, can't you just put the rubber band on my balls already?
All right, are you ready?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, in 3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Let Me Finish, Two Men, One Story, 1 Million Interruptions. I am Jason Harding.
I'm Atticus.
And on this show, Atticus has 30 minutes to tell a story, and I have 30 minutes to prevent him from doing so, I guess. If at any time I'm not even doing the bell sound, we're doing something different. Atticus is going to read a preview to his story, right, Atticus?
Not a preview. I'll just read a whole chapter.
He's going to read a whole chapter, and that means no picket fences. But that doesn't mean that we're not taking people's stories. So please, if you have a story that you'd like for us to read on the show, please go to the Let Me Listen podcast website, go to the contact page, and leave it for us there. We love getting them, don't we, Addy?
Yes, we do. Hold on, let me get this.
Okay, and
what's up?
And now, next on Book Chat on PBS is Atticus Blake, who's written a book about, I don't know, how much you love God or something, Atticus?
No, how God doesn't exist. That's what it is. No, it's not. What I wrote this book about... Actually, I'll let Jess do the description, okay?
Oh my, we have a new person in the studio. Someone by the name of Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
I'm imaginary,
welcome to Book Chat.
Okay, I'm a compilation of all the weird Massachusetts dickheads that has met... Oh, shit, you gotta cut that out.
I ain't doing it!
Yes,
rules
you
are out for this show!
That Atticus has met... And what I'm going to do is describe this very quickly.
We should transition him in.
Originally, Atticus published a YouTube series about his deconversion from Christianity. And it was short and annotated because he could only put 10 minutes up when he first started. And he just continued on like that. 10-minute videos.
Yeah.
And then what ended up happening was he started to write a book. It couldn't be titled an autobiography because he's not old enough to write one of those. It's more aptly titled a memoir.
He doesn't know. Maybe he's going to die soon.
It's all about the same thing, right?
Dicks.
Atticus is queer. He's hiding it. He is a Christian.
He likes
and
dick.
He gets married. He does a whole bunch of weird things in his life that Jason constantly asks, how the fuck are you alive? And
am I in the book saying, how the fuck are you alive?
No, the book is dedicated to you.
No, it is not either.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't either. Your yes, daughter, it better be dedicated is. To your daughter.
Why would I dedicate a... Why would Atticus dedicate a book about him... Dude, there's dick sucking in this. Jesus.
I don't mean that part. No. She's going to read it eventually when it becomes required reading to graduate from your from senior level English. Well, they're like, finally, let's get rid of Catcher in the Rye. Throw that right in the trash. Thunk.
Ain't happening. Second page of the book. This book is dedicated to Jason Harding, my real psychiatrist.
No, oh, I'm going to cry. I actually might cry.
Don't.
I might actually cry. I told you I'm
well,
in
don't
a weird
shed
mood.
Tears for me. I rape and pillage.
Whatever. That's actually quite touching. Thank you. Thank you, Addy. I'm ignoring you, Jeff.
You're very welcome.
No.
All right, let's do the Badinga, even though it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Badinga. Chapter 16, The Maladaptive Daydreamer, 2009. I could not have what I wanted in real life, so I made it up in my head. However, I should have never said, even in fantasy, that I loved him.
Uh-oh.
It made it real and inescapable for a very long time.
Oh, no. I'm trying to figure out who it is.
Do you need me to explain what maladaptive daydreaming is?
Yes, for our audience, what does maladaptive daydreaming mean?
Maladaptive daydreaming is a particular disorder in which a person actually lives out an entire fantasy life inside of their head. And it is vivid, and it is just as real as the real world, but they do acknowledge that the real world is the real world, and what happens in the fantasy world is entirely conjured by you.
Yeah.
It's a coping mechanism used by OCD sufferers, OOCD sufferers, and people who have panic disorder.
Ah.
Now, you might occasionally get the person who has, you know, they're in the shower, and they're like, I should have said that!
Yeah.
Right? Now, imagine doing that, but also having an entire fantasy about how it would have gone and how it should have gone, and then having to stop in your thoughts to brush your teeth and then go in the other room and then continue on with the fantasy.
Everyone does that, though, don't they?
Not to this level.
What? They start building little model towns?
No, it's maladaptive, meaning that it actually hinders your life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this was going on while I was married.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
No, this person is it's merely their image. They're not. No, I don't even use their name.
Okay.
Yeah. On my third anniversary, I was staged just outside of Boston, awaiting my next pickup and delivery. I sat in my car in a garage which had free Wi-Fi access from the hospital.
He wasn't a prostitute. He was a delivery guy for medical stuff.
Delivery boy.
Mm-hmm.
And was a calm place to write in peace. I would not be like all those other dads who had given up. When I would pick up kid from school, I remember the line of high-blown mothers latched to their cell phones and dressed in tight spandex, ready to take off their most recent baby weight. As always, standing next to them were men who appeared 10 years older than they actually were.
Hi!
Their bellies rolled, and their heads were bald. They had crow's feet. They had beet red burns from long hours working in the sun. I asked one of them how old they were, and he replied that he was 36. It terrified me. Jesus fuck, what happened to him? I don't want that to happen to me. Not ever. I ramped up all of my workouts and changed my diet so I would never have that belly, never grow old, and somehow never go bald. I ran every morning before work, focused on...
Are you afraid you're going to go bald?
No, I mean my hair might thin, and my brother went bald at like 18.
Really?
Mm.
It's a gene that's carried on your mom's side.
Yeah, my grandfather is bald, but I still seem to have a full head of hair, so
there's that. He's open.
I ran every morning before work, focused on keeping my body from deteriorating. Only noticing as an afterthought the beautiful sunrises off the pond I encircled. I was so tied up, so wound up and uptight and high-strung, that almost anything caused me irritation. The worst of my fears was dying unsung, having done nothing important. Hmm. Like a nuke sitting in one of those lonely desert silos ready to launch at any sign of attack.
Yikes!
wondering how long it would take to split atoms with my mind. How long would it take before I put a blade to my wrists and drove deeply enough to end it all?
Yikes.
I did not know Occam's razor would meet my mind, negating the need for a real blade to ever reach my wrists. Meet my wrists. I did not even know I was moving things along with my writing, even if the book amounted to nothing. I had decided to title my first novel, if it could be called that, Life in High Definition. I had never written anything before, anything with such intensity before, and believed I had new ideas. Like most writers, I had a sort of coffeehouse attitude which caused me to tilt my laptop screen away so others would not steal my good ideas. Why would I do such a thing when alone in a parking garage probably had more to do with what was being written, rather than a need to keep my burgeoning novel from being stolen?
Yeah, those cafe literature thieves that are always prowling, walking into Doubleday. Okay, I saw this at a cafe the other day. There's an entire sequence where a man eats shit.
I'm keeping that in if I write that book. And just me, and I'll be like, this spot is entirely dedicated to Jason Hardy.
Oh, no! Sorry, keep going. Sorry.
It's okay. No. That's what you're supposed to do.
No, I like this story.
It was wholly unoriginal. In truth, I knew I would probably never finish it. It is not finished to this day. There were many parts of myself at work in my authorship, as if it were crying out from the page to the everything that I was unwilling to accept at the moment. I needed to lay fingers to the keyboard. I had no psychiatrist and needed to tell someone what was really going on, even if only subconsciously. I hated my life and could not express what I really wanted to do with it. The book was an escape from my mental and physical rituals. I sat and tried to relax. I said the things I wanted to say about myself and my world. Setting, a post-apocalyptic dystopian future.
Mm-hmm.
First character, the exact opposite of myself. Susan Foster, former military, age 30. Fucks who she wants to fuck, says what she wants to say. She was the free spirit.
The Adams family.
She was the free spirit I wanted to be. Second, Dr. Samuel Bright, a scientist whose creations had destroyed the world. The person inside of me who wanted to know more about our world. Third, Boris Snell, former military experiment, a perverted sex criminal who needs to be forgiven. A mental projection of the person I accused myself of being.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. glad Rich- my other identities manifested themselves as a series of endearing puppets.
I'm still waiting on a Jeff puppet.
Yours manifested themselves into, spy whore and crazy scientist poo eater and rapist dude. And
fourth, Dr. Richard Bowes, another scientist.
Gets better.
Another scientist who steals the ideas of others and profits from them. Even in writing, I was telling myself that it was unoriginal. Fifth, how much more obvious could it get? The unfinished novel emphasized how seriously sexually repressed I was.
Mm.
And of course, how little I knew about writing.
Especially the teenage kid that wants to be naked all the time and jerks off to the thought of a hologram of a dude.
Oh, yeah.
I pay attention.
And so do the listeners. On days when I would finish a lot, say 10 pages, my conscience would be clear. On others, when I had writer's block, I would delve into my fantasy world, entirely different from my novel world. Or was it? Amongst all of the things I worried about, bills, appointments, grades, teachers, binkies, diapers, etc., you would think there was no room for me to think about much else. You would be wrong. Even though nightly I would sit by my wife and watch Lifetime or some shitty sitcom and seemed content to the outside world, I was daydreaming. Not like I had driven somewhere and forgotten the whole ride, but in a way which was deeply immersive. The obsessiveness of keeping my mind clean had interchanged for another thing, the very thing which held my sanity together, sexual maintenance.
Mm.
I believed that so long as I could fantasize, I would never cheat on my wife, or leave her, or hurt her. I was in love, not with Jesus, not with my wife, but with a man. Someone I knew I could never have. He was like Superman, an image of perfection that could never be obtained. Still, the constant drive to seek out partners led me to him, even if only in my mind. I had forgotten that people like that existed. People like him existed. I haven't removed all the that's yet, damn
it. Nope. Oh, there's another that.
People you could fall for on sight. I was so depressed I could do little else but think about him, and the fantasy was motivation, even if it would amount to nothing. Always at night I would say my prayers for God to protect the ones I loved, because I worried that this house of cards would fall down at any moment. Hmm. As if being in love with someone who is not your wife did not fuck it up already. My suit of marriage, my suit of armor, my life. I expected to wake up in my comfortable sheets next to a beautiful woman forever. In my nice apartment, I would shower, expecting every day to be like all the others. I would go to my small self-operated business in the OK car with faulty air conditioning and make deliveries all day. All while listening to the local radio station blast the same tunes it did the day before. It should have been Easy Street. A fridge full of food, bills paid on time. Yes, please. I had bought my kids every present they wanted for Christmas. I was super dad. I got my wife roses for our anniversary, hand-delivered with a card which read, You are now and always will be the most beautiful woman I have ever seen. $59.99. Charge it. There was nothing that was too much for her.
At least it was honest.
Yeah.
At least you didn't say, I will love you forever and I swear to God I'm not thinking about dudes.
I will love you forever and I was not masturbating while thinking about someone else last night.
Mm-hmm. When I'm in you, I'm not thinking about butts.
In one of many discreet ironies which are entrenched in my story, I hated the wealthy and educated, yet wanted to be able to afford the finer things and appear intelligent.
That's everybody.
Amusingly, there would come occasions when doctors and surgeons would exit the building on the parking lot level. Walking briskly past my vehicle, they would scrutinize me like I was some sort of waifish criminal, sitting there in my car, smoking, typing, and scrolling through Facebook. Don't judge me. I'm just a driver. I could be one of you, cruising in a BMW and drinking Cristal or whatever.
While doing surgery, doing blow off the nurse's ass cheeks.
Ooh, I gotta fix this.
I could be one of you. While you fix that, I'm gonna get something to drink.
No, I'm done. Oh, I'll go get something to drink.
No, you read, I'm gonna get something to drink.
No, you need to hear the next part, so I'll wait.
Okay.
How does he wear jeans? How does he wear jeans? And it's so fucking hot where he is. I'm wearing like sweatpants, but like I'm sweating. My armpits are drenched. It's disgusting. I smell like a fucking camel. Ugh. A camel with axe. Diet. Diet Dr. Pepper gives me nightmares.
What?
Diet Dr. Pepper gives me nightmares.
What do you mean it gives you nightmares?
Every time I drink it, there's some strange thing that happens where I have I don't know if it's the amount of caffeine that's in it or whatever, but it's something about it just meh.
Okay, I have my puppy. Let's go.
Rather than face the truth, I would continue scrolling through. I was so fucking bored. This was my life. Day in, day out. Nothing more to gain, nothing more to seek. Nothing more to learn. It was nearing evening, and the sun washed over him, creating a manly silhouette.
Mm-mm.
I watch him exit the water and towel off beside me at the beach. I scrutinize him closely like I'm studying for the MCAT. It served no purpose. The few glimpses of his half-nude body will be all I get anyway. He notices me looking, and I look away. The image of him will never leave now. It's better than nothing. The height, the hazel eyes, the brown hair, the masculine body. And am I seeing what I want in a man, or what I desire for myself and my own body? It's all so confusing, and it shouldn't be. Could I just tell him how I really feel?
Why were you laughing just then?
Just because this was an actual consistent fantasy that I held
in my head. Oh, okay.
Yeah. He smiles down at me sitting atop my towel, pretending he didn't notice me looking. He reaches down and tousles my hair like I'm a pet. I hated everything. I would scroll through the monotony of pomp and drama. On this particular day... Oh, I. That's weird.
What?
I'm just noticing shit that I did wrong.
Come on, you're about to go to publish, and you still got mistakes in there?
Oh, there's bound to be some. On this particular day, an old friend had posted a video. Above it was the caption, "Fucking hilarious." And the title was, "What Would Jesus Not Do?" by Non-Stamp Collector.
Oh, no.
Fear and trepidation held my fingers move. After the party, he and I are alone to finish the sun, watch the sun setting on the lake. Mm. We're laughing at some old thing that happened before. Mm. The wicker chairs are so close that his knee kept touching mine. I'm livid with fear and my hands are shaking.
You're both in bathtubs watching the sunset.
I say, "I love you. I think that no good will come of this." He leans forward, says, "I love you too. This can't be real." Of course it isn't. In what universe would he say that? That's all right. It feels real. He continues, "I have to love you here. After all, I am you."
Oh, that's sad.
Movements.
What?
I never... No, it's cutting in between the consistency of the story.
Oh.
So that while you're reading it, you're like, "Oh my God, is this what it's like?" Yes, this is what it was like.
Okay.
I never thought just moving my fingers would change my life. One small decision which could reform my thoughts, reform my existence. But it could, and it did. He leans in for the first time, because it's always the first time, and kisses me. I kiss back, 1,000 kisses on that face. He stops, asks...
Sounds like a curse. 1,000 kisses on that face! Yes, Hasim!
He stops, asks, "Come to my room? Where else would this go?" I'm unbuttoning his shirt from the top of his neck to the bottom of his dress shirt, revealing everything that I desired to eat. When his pants come down, I'm making him moan with excitement, on my knees looking up at his pleasure. What more could two people ask for? Time alone to do the things that neither poetry nor pornography could contrive.
No, you didn't put that in there.
I did keep it in there because of the next line. You think you're smart with that line before? It's fucking garbage.
Oh, Jesus.
Some of the things that are in here are nods to specific people.
Okay.
Yeah. I clicked the video. For those 8 minutes and 41 seconds, I did not think about Superman at all. I did not think about my marriage. And I most definitely did not think about God. Not till after it was over. It was loaded with the regular atheistic questioning of God I had heard before. Only this time, something got through. Something small, but just enough. When the video was finished, I remembered my former mantra, "Atheists are assholes who think they are better than others." I scoffed, "That will never be me."
I'm sorry, I remembered
saying that to myself so many times. There was a sudden feeling of heat in my heart. The hairs on my arms stood up, and my fingertips were numb. My old friend was there for a work visit. Never mind the fact that tonight is your anniversary, and your biggest hope is that she will drive home, so you can get slobbering drunk at dinner and fall asleep dreaming about a guy who does not know you exist. Never mind that. What if there is no God? What are the implications? Are there any? I asked, should be past tense. Mm-hmm. Jesus. Excuse me? This is how I work. This is so upsetting. So upsetting. Anyway, I asked, if there is no God, I have no moral consequence for killing people.
No.
If there is no God, then one day the sun will expand and eat the earth to which it gives its nourishing light every day.
Even better, the entire universe suffers from heat death and just kind of dismally fades out into existence, only consisting of black holes drifting through a silent, dark universe.
I'm pretty sure that I agree with the scientists who say that we're expanding into other universes.
Maybe.
Yeah. If there is no God, stop. But I could not stop. I did not know it at the time, but what I was saying, thinking, was called an argumentum ad consequentiam. When a belief is either true or false based on whether the premise leads to desirable or undesirable outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, the beast and the spirit were unacquainted with critical thinking and Occam's razor. Right then, I was a scared, shitless 28-year-old boy with a crutch and a crush. Nevertheless, as always, adulthood and responsibilities would interrupt my fantasy, my inner reverie, and my obsessions. My Nextel phone chirped, Hey, Addie, can you pick up a sample in Roxbury at 9 p.m.? Dispatch always tried to give me the undesirable pickups. Chiseled abs, 300-pound squat-shaped ass. I replied, are you kidding me? It's my anniversary tonight. I'm done at 4. Also, you want me to pick up a sample in Roxbury at 9 p.m.? Dude, nothing's gonna happen to you. Just get in and out fast. He said in a thick mass accent that questioned my sexuality with its overly masculinized way. I will never love you, and you will never be rid of me. No fucking way, I said into the walkie-talkie. He sighed. Fine, can you run the samples over from St. E's to the lab, then after that do the run to Watertown? There is no God. Yeah, that's fine, I said, and drove to the hospital in Brighton. I lay back, waiting his presence inside of me.
What?
I laid back, awaiting his presence inside of me.
Ah, okay.
He's so much heavier than I am, and I can't breathe, but I don't mind. I let him pound away at me for an hour or two, just laying there.
An hour or two?
Yeah.
Okay.
He cries, oh, and then causes me to come all over myself in the sheets. Judge me. Please, just judge me. Admittedly,
I don't know, 10? The Russian one might... Let's see what the Russian judge says. Oh! He's trying to add numbers to his card. He really liked that performance. They're repressed in Russia. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Admittedly, I had had an emotional crisis before. It was nothing new. I held on to a lot of guilt and suffered for it. However, this time was different. Somehow my mind had been forced to come right to the cusp of freedom from all of it. What would it take? I would have to come out of the closet, stop living in my inner fantasy world, do right by the people I loved by telling them the truth, stop hating myself, and take a skeptical look at all of my beliefs. Mm-hmm. Everything. Then acknowledge that it's okay not to have the... It's okay not to be a... Whew! That was close. Where were we? Roiling desires bubble to the surface.
Right. Touch. Someone was pounding you for hours on end.
Touch, eat, lick, taste, grab, grope. Is there any way that two people could be closer? Sure, if it were real. But what if God is not real? I did what I always did in those situations. Jason?
Yes.
What do I do? What do I do in those
Cry.
Situations? I cried. Nothing worked. Nothing worked, and I had failed. I was not functional. Aloud in the car, I said, I pay my bills like a man does. Yeah, but everyone does that.
I slap him down on the table and I stick a knife in him and I say, there, they're paid.
I fuck my wife like a man does.
That's right.
What does that even mean?
Drunk and you're done in like 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. I take care of my children while your mind is somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost as if I was pleading for God to exist rather than for an existent God to help me.
Mm-hmm.
Just show yourself to me. Life is meaningless without a God. I'm in love with someone who's not my wife, and that makes me a terrible person. In which case, if there's no God to forgive me, then the only person who's accountable for this, is me.
Mm.
I need someone to judge me. Would you, could you, judge me? Standing outside of my car, smoking another cigarette, and sifting through boxes addressed to Dr. So-and-so, ready to pick up the samples from here and there, I'm also ready to die.
Oof.
Yeah. Is it possible that every situation I've gotten myself into is entirely my fault? That I'm the one who had been in control since the beginning? Oh. I need an answer. A sign. I need a sign, some sign, any sign that you're out there.
Everywhere's a sign.
Signs, signs, everywhere are signs.
All these signs say, Addie, you're fine.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
Leave your wife and find a guy and fuck him until you feel good. Oh, yeah, God isn't real.
He's just an imaginary friend like all the others, including that guy. Prove yourself to me. I'm really fucking scared. Standing outside of the door to Dr. Whatever's building with an armload of boxes, I hold the door for this woman. I had seen her face 1,000 times before.
I know this story.
You do. Where was it? On the big screen. Abruptly, I asked, excuse me, in her mommy and yoga pants, and plain white t-shirt, she turns. Then I asked, "Are you Jennifer Garner?" She smiled brightly, shouldered her purse, said, "Yes, I am," as if she was surprised that she was, in fact, herself. I was not prepared for this situation, and I do get starstruck easily. So the absolute gobbledygook which came out of my mouth was probably permitted, being that she is a movie star. And things like that probably happen to her every day.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you really just freaked me out. I never meet movie stars on the street
in Boston. Did she really say you really just freaked me out?
Yeah, she smiled and laughed. She was like, she was so quirky and cute. I don't know what to say.
And then they broke up. Was she still married to Ben? I can't remember.
No, I think they're divorced, finally.
No, but I mean, when you met her, she was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My understanding was that she was just leaving the doctor's office because it was her third pregnancy, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And today, it's my anniversary, and I was having a terrible day, and you just made it 10 times better.
Ugh.
But I won't take up any more of your time. You have a nice day. Bye.
Also, by the way, I'm gay and I'm not happy.
She replied, "Oh, well. Nice meeting you, anyway. See you later." She did say, "See you later." I was
okay. I never saw her again. Right.
No. Then she turned and left. It was my sign, I guess. Maybe everything was going to be okay. The rest of the day, I spent a lot of time on the phone telling people how I met Jennifer Garner and how I certainly did not act like a fool. I had forgotten about that silly non-stamp fellow and his silly video. There was a God, and he had proved himself to me.
Oh, boy.
We keep going here.
No, we're good.
No. It's not scroll. I'm trying to scroll down, and the damn thing won't scroll down.
That's a sign. That's a sign. It's done. Short show today, folks.
No, thanks. I remember feeling an intense desire for growth in the months after the miracle.
I remember feeling an intense desire to want to take a nap.
The want, once again, to change everything from head to toe, inside and out. All of these desires had started before, but had culminated in the end of my marriage, which, believe it or not, was the best thing for Dana and I. Mm-hmm. After all, I was a liar, and I told lies on a daily basis.
You are a liar, and you tell lies all the time, constantly.
It was only through deep introspection I came to the conclusion that all of the strange things I did before... Wait. It was only through deep introspection... I came to the conclusion that all of the strange things I did before, it ended where an expression... before it ended, were an expression of my sexuality when I could not say it aloud or even merely think it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I was in love with a person that not only resembled Superman, but also had his morality. I mean, who could not love such a person? 6'4", strongly built, intense eyes, and a willingness to save anyone. Even his mortal enemy.
Crushingly heterosexual. What?
Crushingly heterosexual. Yeah. Being in love can make us do some pretty unsettling things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the Apostle Paul wrote that love is a bunch of stuff that it really is not.
I remember the Apostle Pat Benatar said love is a battlefield.
It is always kind, is patient, does not envy, does not boast, keeps no record of wrongs, etc. Funny, it does the exact opposite of all of those things. And if I had spoken in words of love, I believed I had lied. Mm. It was all so confusing. Serotonin, epinephrine, oxytocin, vasopressin, testosterone, and estrogen. They are the gene
worst
products.
Seven dwarves ever.
They are the gene products which come into play because love is the chemistry of insanity. Why go anywhere else for drugs when your body makes them just fine?
That's true. Your brain knows how to manufacture almost anything.
Lately, I had had this dark feeling that every drug throughout history had been made to cure feelings of love, and I hated being in love. I had tried so many drugs, but had never become more than a novice at using them, with the exception of love. Whether legal or illegal, I cast my lots with the Encyclopedia Pharmacopoeia, wherein I found the usual suspects. Zoloft, Prozac, for those times of sadness which would not go away, Zalexa, Lexapro, for the anxiety of life. Effexor, Cymbalta, for the obsessive rant. Ativan and Valium, as a preemptive measure for any situation. Recreational alcohol, of course. Mm-hmm. The cigarettes, the never-ending cigarettes.
That do porn. Nothing for you.
Porn for when I could not. Awkward sex for when I could. Music was sometimes my everything, and it could move mountains.
Mm.
Others say it all boils down to sex, drug, and rock and roll. I would add a wrinkle. All of those things, of all of those things, love cries out from the heart of each, and love is the worst. Was the worst, actually. I put it past tense. Now, when I spoke of love, I meant a human thing, which sometimes make us bite our lips and shift our feet and lose all capacity of reason at the sight of someone beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Not just physically, but also intellectually. We wonder how they feel when they're not around. Are they thinking of just how unimpressive we really are? What would I do to have that person be a part of my life? Would I change my hair, my clothes, exercise more, wear cologne, get a better job? Problem is, with all of those things changed, I would still be me. What are you willing to do? Would you make an ass of yourself?
Sure.
So it came. I found out what I was willing to do, even though nothing ever came of it. In the winter of 2009, I stood on a football field amongst 21 other men, including some dude who used to play in the NFL. Admittedly, I hated this game. A friend had once asked me what I thought of the game, and my short, curt reply was, "It's a castrated gladiatorial game." The friend was nonplussed, but I continued. I mean, if you think about it, people actually just want to see others get hurt. That's what every sport is, didn't you know? He replied, "Fuck you." So how did I, a full-grown man, having never played this game before, end up on a field with 21 other men and one dude who used to play in the NFL? I was in love with Superman, remember? I believed it was absolutely imperative to learn to play this game. Ironically, hilariously, I also believed it would make me look more straight. I will leave it to the reader to figure that one out. 3 months of this and I was still no closer to my goal. I was learning to play, but nothing whatever in the way of love was forthcoming. On my side of the field, 10 men and some dude who used to play in the NFL were huddled. They are giving signals and naming plays that I pretend to understand, and the only thing I could glean from it was I was supposed to stay in and block one of the opposing team's dude from taking the flag off the dude who used to play in the NFL. It's also hilarious. What was I doing there, other than gathering rain and sleet in my shoes and taking up space? Well, momentarily, I was in the way of the dude who wants to skullfuck the dude who played in the NFL. I was doing well enough because the other dude tripped over my foot and fell flat on his face. But the past did not make it. Like always, I remember something far in my past, how I used to sit out in gym because of my roly-poly belly, and I did not want to undress in front of the other boys. Ergo, do not ever play, and I would not have to change. However, I would hang about the locker room and occasionally catch a wink of a penis in the shower or someone cute in their underwear. At least until my eyes lingered too long and I would hear a short, terse, "What the fuck are you looking at, faggot?" Shaken from my reverie, I heard, "You," he said. "Yeah, you." The dude who used to play in the NFL kept talking to me as if I had been listening the whole time. "You've been into block pretty much the whole time." "Oh, fuck," I thought. Then, "I just want you to hit your guy and run into the middle, and the ball will be there for you." What have I done? Why am I here? A muse inspires me to do a thing, an insane thing, and I do it. "He won't care, ever. You know that, right?" I told my rational brain to shut up like usual. "I could be home with my wife, getting fat like all the other dads, being bored and watching my children do boring things. I could be reading Dune to my son, or watching Breaking Bad, mindjacking. But this, how did this happen?" I'm standing on a field with 21 other men and some dude who used to play in the NFL trying to win a football game. It was third and long, and we were at the 1-yard line. And Doug, He was expecting me to catch this motherfucking ball and turn it over for a new set of downs. This is insane, and I am an insane person. But what difference will it make? Catch it? Don't catch it? Seriously, who gives a fuck? It's a backwater game in the middle of nowhere. Please don't say hike. But of course, hike. Running wildly, I forgot to hit my man. I was in the middle, and for some strange reason, there's a ball in my hands. I stop here. If I stop here, that's 10 yards. But I did not stop. I ran. Why? The field was a green blur, and there was shouting for a moment, and I believed I was running the wrong way. I was not. Suddenly, I felt a sharp snap and unbelievable pain in my chest. And then everything was sky.
Huh?
Someone had caught up to me and tripped me. His flying knee had broken 2 ribs near the sternum above my heart.
Did that really happen? I don't remember that in the story before.
Yeah. Oh, no, okay. That was the day I broke my ribs.
Oh, jeez.
I had run the ball 60 yards. Mm. There was cheering, and the dude who used to play in the NFL came up and shook my hand. With bone spurs in my chest and extreme pain while breathing for the next 6 weeks. Was it worth it? Totally. But I was never truly happy about anything. The desire to have something in my life which was new every day was so strong I would risk my health, my marriage, my job, anything. It did not matter who got steamrolled. It was not long thereafter, my life fell into an even deeper depression. The sort of place where I could feel only 2 things, sexual desire and extreme anger. I began fights with Dana over anything and everything. Not our usual spousal tiffs, but the kind which forced me to take a lonely place on a friend's couch for the night. I fought with strangers over trivial things, always with an intense want or need to be right and win. I got angry with my children for just being children. Nobody understood me anymore. I had quit my job over a small pay argument. Everything was collapsing around me. I lived in a constant cycle of obsession which could not be broken but by responsibility alone. Having no want to accept the reality of what I had done to my life, I preferred to dream of hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, nuclear warfare, and even suicide. Anything that would destroy this quaint little life. Normally I would fear and rebuke such a dream, but now I desired for it to become a reality. How did I get here? Without any effort, I have become that man. That man who smashed a window in my face and told me that he was going to cut my throat. Who are you? ... 4th anniversary. 8 years I've known nothing but you. I can never unknow you. We had been through a lot, and every moment of it had been important. She had been my friend, my confidant, and my love. She gave me 2 children, whom I failed to father. I rotated my wedding ring around my finger, as most men do, playing with it. The eternal band. Could this go on forever? She and I are sitting in our car after a tour of the mansions of Newport, Rhode Island. The opulence was overwhelming. What I would not have given to have built a life like that for us. I thumbed the band out of the crevice it had worn into my skin. Without this, I am only. Without you, I am no one. After all these years, I still do not know what you wanted. Do you still love me? She asked. Yes, I do. It was the truth, but not so meaningful as it used to be. It was at that moment I said the thing that all men say at the end of a relationship. I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. I had to wonder, are the thoughts of every man different when they're saying this pile of bullshit, this excuse? What does it mean, I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore? It was just a way of saying I can't do this. It's too painful to continue. In the driver's seat, she buried her face in her hands and began to cry. I could feel her pain. I could, but I did not know what to do with it. I told her, I'm sorry. I know it's unfair. However, it was not me who suggested we separate. It was actually her who suggested it. I could not believe it. An out. An easy out. But what was really going on here? We had dinner at some shore restaurant, each of us munching on some greasy burger with plate with fries and ketchup. The lamentations of the year before having gone away, the counter with spinny chairs, welcoming us like we had always belonged there. We smiled and nodded because it was over. Finally, over. And in one more strange, ironic twist over our meal, she asked, "Who is that guy who keeps staring at you over there?" I glanced across the restaurant for a face and recognized only one. Nick, a minor player in the robbery, whom I had not seen in years. He glanced quickly out the window as if he had not been staring at us. I explained to her about the robbery for the 100th time, her nodding all the while. She asked, "Don't you hate it when people pretend they don't know you just because they forgot how to say hi?" We both laughed at that like the friends we were and still are. Nick scowled and continued his meal. I moved out of the apartment and began what I considered phase three of my life, where everything had changed and I was alone with my thoughts. I had even found out Dana was dating someone else. And in my depressed, lax state, I was not even fazed by this at all. I do not even think I cared. I met him. He had already moved in, and the fucking guy was so nice, I could totally understand why this happened. He was everything I was not, and while I was off gallivanting with my imaginary friend, this man, he had swooped in and taken her from me. On the phone, occasionally she made these jibs and jabs about us getting back together. "Why can't it work anymore?" she asked. It was almost as if that short time apart from her made her forget this was settled. I say, "Because you're dating someone else. He's living with you. Isn't that a good enough reason?" I thought. She says, "Yeah, but I'd drop him if I knew that you would come back to me and that things would be okay." "I can't do that," I say. "I'm so fed up with this. The games are over, Dana." "Why?" she asked again. I reached down farther for the answer this time. One that would make her leave me alone. "Because I'm gay, Dana. You know that. You've always known that." There we go. Are you asleep? Jason? Holy shit, he's actually asleep. Jason! He's got his headphones on. You actually fell asleep.
I actually fell asleep. I can't believe it. Your voice was so soothing that I drifted off, thought of something, and then immediately started dreaming.
Okay, well, I was done. I'm finished with that.
But did you really finish and you were like, "Is he asleep?"
Yeah, I did. I went,
"No! Holy shit,
he's actually asleep."
Oh, this is embarrassing. I'm sorry, Eddie. You just... I warned you I was tired.
That was the funniest fucking thing that has ever happened on the story. On the show. I didn't snore, did I? A little bit.
Oh, God. Okay, that's it. Thank you, Addy, for reading this story. I'm sorry I fell asleep. Remember, guys, if you want me to sleep through one of your stories, please see on the Let Me Listen contact page on the Let Me Listen website. Leave it for us there. And now is the time where we see if someone left us a written review, and did we?
I don't know. I haven't checked. Hold on.
Okay. I'll just...
And while he's doing that, that's what you're supposed to say. You forgot what you were supposed to do, didn't you?
I forget. What am I supposed to do? Well, he's doing that. I do a funny dance.
Scratch my balls.
I'm all fuzzy-headed now from the micro-nap that I took.
Ooh,
you know that weird... What?
Oh, no.
Okay. Right.
Wait, that makes no sense. Because yesterday it was 54. Oh, someone gave us a rating but didn't leave a review.
Oh, well, thank you for the rating.
Thank you.
Whoever you are.
Yeah.
I don't think you qualify for godhood, but, I mean, thank you. Yeah. Remember, guys, if you leave us a written review on iTunes, it helps the show out immensely. and we love getting them. We'll read them here, and we'll say your name and add you to the let me finish Pantheon of gods. Oh my god, I'm tired. Anyway, that's it this time around for Let Me Finish. This is Jason Harding.
Wait, I wanted to tell a short thing that happened the other day. It was really funny.
What? No, you already talked enough.
No. That's all right, just a little levity. So what? I was having dinner with James at Red Robin, and we were sitting there eating burgers with another friend, and I was trying to emote something that had happened like a few hours earlier, and I had raised my voice like ah, and then I coughed all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And I fucking Hershey squirted in my pants. I was so not expecting it. Yes, and I was wearing shorts, actually. They were white shorts. And I'm like, James, I need to get up now and go to the bathroom. Look at the back of my pants and tell me if they're brown. And he goes, nope, they're fine. I go into the bathroom, and I'm like, what am I going to do? I take them off, and it had not gone through, but it was in the underwear. And I was like, why the fuck did that happen? So there I am, creepily taking off my pants so that I can get the underwear off. And I wipe my ass with the underwear, and I'm like, I'm going to throw these away, right?
Yeah.
And I realized now, in every bathroom, there are now tampon disposal trashes in men's bathrooms, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least in this one, anyway. And I was like, okay, you're going in there, underwear. Sorry. Because I'm not walking. There were guys pissing in the I was in the stall, and there were guys pissing, and I'm like, I'm not. If I come out there with the underwear, they're going to know what happened. So.
They already knew what was going on.
No. I stuffed it in there, and I was like, bye-bye, and I walked out with no underwear.
Bye-bye, underwear. You died doing what you love.
But for some reason, I Hershey squirted, like, and when I was in the bathroom, I kept having diarrhea. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Just like, all of a sudden, diarrhea. This is what happens in your old age.
Yep. I meant to break it to you earlier, but you can't laugh hard anymore.
Don't trust any farts.
Yeah, don't trust any farts.
That's
ever.
The lesson of this entire episode. Don't trust a fart.
That's right. Don't trust a fart, kids. Are you going to say goodbye now?
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. I'll have more energy next week, I swear to God.
You better.
Because I'm going to be doing coke.
Probably kill you.
Probably he'd be all sweaty, though. Be all sweaty. Be
and I'd be like, okay, how am I gonna... Wait, he's dead in front of the microphone. What am I doing now? I don't even know. I'd probably just call 911 and be like, okay, I'm talking to a person on Skype. They're in California. And
go. We measured this out in dicks once. It'll take you...
Yeah, we measured this as 10,000 dicks from here to there.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The Let Me Finish podcast is a Let Me Listen podcast production with Atticus Blake and Jason Harding, with music by Kevin MacLeod. Produced by Jason Harding. You can find more Let Me Listen podcasts at our website at www.letmelistenpodcasts.com. You can also find us on SoundCloud, Facebook, and iTunes. Please like and leave a review. And thank you for listening.